Today's scripture reading will be coming from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And it reads, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep." This is the word of the Lord.
1823, there was a young boy by the name of Joseph Smith. He was praying in the woods near his home in western New York. And according to young boy Smith, an angel by the name of Moroni visited him while he was praying. And this angel revealed to him the location of some golden plates and other relics that were buried in those woods. According to Smith, he would later go on to retrieve those plates and translate what was on those plates into English. And that translation would eventually become the Book of Mormon. And Smith, Joseph Smith, would go on to start and become the very first prophet of what is today called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and leading millions of people away from the biblical truth of Jesus. Some of you are familiar with a name. The name is Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, a professional football team, for those of you who did not know. Aaron Rodgers recently spoke about his faith, or more accurately, the lack thereof. He was raised by devout Christian parents and went to church every Sunday, was a member of Young Life, and professed to have benefited greatly and confessed to be a Christian. And yet he also has said that he had many questions. Many questions that he felt that his church either would not or could not answer. One day, the Green Bay Packers, the football team, invited the then Pastor Rob Bell to speak to the team. And Rob Bell at the time was a prominent pastor. He's the author of a prominent book, popular book called Love Wins. Now in this book, Bell denounced the doctrine of hell. He denounced the doctrine of eternal judgment, and in a sense just denounced the whole idea of the exclusivity of Jesus in salvation. And after speaking with the Packers, Aaron Rodgers and Rob Bell struck up a conversation. It ultimately led to a friendship. And soon, too, after that, Aaron, too, would reject the Bible's teaching on hell, too, would reject eternal judgment and uniqueness of Jesus. And ultimately, Aaron Rodgers would reject biblical Christianity itself. Recently, Rodgers did an interview in which he said that he didn't identify with the title Christian anymore, but now is on a path to a different type of spirituality that's more meaningful. Aaron Rodgers' comments, unfortunately, are far too common these days. But fortunately, beloved, they are not new. The influence of false prophets like Joseph Smith and false teachers like Rob Bell is often wide-reaching, outside and even inside the church. False prophets and false teachers are not a new phenomenon. The Bible is replete with warnings to God's people about the purposes and the plans of men and women who position themselves as prophets and prophetesses and would lead God's people away from the truth of God. This has been the case from the very beginning. The very first false prophet was indeed the serpent himself, beloved, who in the garden sought to undermine God's word by falsifying it to God's people. In the Garden of Eden, Satan attacked the word of God and falsely prophesied, right in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, where he said to Eve, "You shall not surely die." That's a false prophecy, propagated by a false prophet. Deuteronomy chapter 13, God warns Moses and the nation of Israel about the dangers of a false prophet. And in verse 8, they were told that they were not to be listened to, they were not to be pitied, and they were not to be spared. False prophecy was a death sentence in ancient Israel. And in the New Testament, the same sentiment continues on as Jesus continued this line of warning to God's people in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. But Jesus told his followers, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." And not only did Jesus continue these warnings, but then the apostles after Jesus, as they are leading the church of Jesus Christ, you see that Paul himself gave stern and serious warnings of the clear and present dangers of false prophets and teachers. In Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 29, as Paul is standing there on the banks of the sea and he's about to depart from Ephesus and his beloved Christian brothers in Ephesus, he tells the elders there at the church in Ephesus, "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And even from among your own selves will rise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." The Bible is replete with this over and over again, beloved. These are stern, clear warnings and admonitions for the people of God to be on guard against false prophets, false teachers, spirits, and erroneous doctrine. Therefore, it is no wonder that as the Apostle Peter was reaching, as we've seen already, as he was reaching the end of his days, what does he do, beloved, but echo the sentiments of those who had come before him, echo the sentiments of Jesus, echo the sentiments of Paul, where he says, "Beware of false teachers." Why? Because false teaching is serious. False teaching is dangerous. False teaching is of the devil. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible tells us that the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy. This is what false teaching does, beloved. This is what false teaching does. False teaching steals. It robs God's people of the joy of their salvation. It steals your assurance and confidence in Jesus by placing it either in other people or yourself. It steals your hope of all things eternally worthwhile. False teaching steals, but it doesn't just steal, beloved. False teaching kills. It is deadly. It twists your understanding and leaves your soul to die in the wilderness of doubt. Truth leads you to life in Christ. False teaching leads to death and damnation. False teaching steals. False teaching kills. False teaching destroys. It destroys relationships. It breaks up marriages. It splits homes. It splits churches. It destroys. Someone had said that doctrine divides. Don't believe that, beloved. Doctrine doesn't divide. Bad doctrine divides. Good, godly doctrine unites people in Christ. This is what Peter was warning. That's what he was doing. He was warning the saints of the false teachers who, being of the devil himself, were out to steal, kill, and destroy. The saints in the church of God. And this morning, we are taught, as the saints then were taught and instructed, to understand the nature of these false prophets and the nature of their influence and what you and I should be expecting. And so how did Peter begin this short little section here that he will go on to elaborate on the nature and importance of identifying these false teachers? Well, how does Peter begin? He begins by telling them the fact of false prophets. Okay? He begins by just stating the fact. The fact is there have been and there will be false prophets. Notice what it says in verse 1, right? But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. Despite the fact that God's people in the Old Testament had true prophets of God, beloved, false prophets still rose up and led people astray. God says in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 21, of these false prophets, he says, I did not send these prophets, yet they ran with their message. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. It was true in the Old Testament. Peter says it was true among the people of God then. Beloved, it is true among the New Testament saints as well. Notice the surety of it all. He says there will be false teachers among you. Paul said, remember again, Paul said to the saints in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 and verse 29, I know after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you. I know it. Peter says there will be. And Paul told Timothy right before his departure. He tells Timothy in 2 Timothy, verse 4 and 3, for the time is coming. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, Timothy, but they will have itching ears and they will accumulate to themselves teachers, false teachers, to suit their own passions. Beloved, listen, don't assume this won't happen. Don't assume that no one will be deceived. Don't assume that you won't lose friends and family members to false doctrine. This is as sure to happen as the devil himself. The devil's agenda is always, beloved, always, always to counterfeit and to falsify what God is doing and what God is saying. That's his agenda. God sends prophets. Satan sends false prophets. God uses signs and wonders. Satan uses lying signs and wonders. God sends Christ. Satan sends the Antichrist. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 27, the Bible says that Christ sows the wheat and the devil sows the weeds. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, we are reminded that where there is the fruit of the Spirit, there is also the works of the flesh. Guaranteed, beloved. And listen, in case you didn't realize it, Satan isn't going anywhere. Satan isn't going anywhere until God says it's time for him to go somewhere. And until then, God's people must be on guard. On guard for the lies. On guard for the falsehoods. On guard for the fake news. On guard for the deceptions. That's our false prophets are among us. And the false prophets continue to rise. That's why it's important that you not only know that they truly exist, but you need to know their methods. And so Peter says, I'm not just telling you that they're here. I'm going to tell you what they do. You see that again in verse 1. But false prophets also rose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who, what do they do? Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them. Listen, false prophets and false teachers don't come with warning labels across their forehead. They don't come declaring themselves to be false teachers and prophets and wear shirts that says, "Beware of me." But rather, the Bible says that they stealthily bring in destructive heresies. They are devious. Peter had just reminded, remember last week as Pastor Phil was preaching, that Peter had just reminded them that the real word of God is not a secret word. Right? Chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, right? It was not from someone's own private or secret interpretation. For the prophet spoke as the prophet was led on by God, and it was not his own, as well, it was not his own doing. It was not his own contriving. It was not some secret interpretation. Do you know the thing about false prophets, beloved? False prophets and false teachers always have new and improved. Always. Always. That's when your antennas go up. When they say new and improved, tin up. Examine the forehead. Look for the t-shirt. They always say they got something, they see something no one has seen before. They tell you everybody else is wrong. Or he or she is right. They got hidden knowledge. They got secret codes. Listen, anybody who tells you that they got a Bible code, you run. God isn't hiding things from you. False prophets and teachers are devious, beloved. Jesus called them, in Matthew 7 and 15, he called them wolves in sheep's clothing. Paul, in Galatians chapter 2, in verse 4, said that they sneak in secretly, and before you know it, They slowly, slowly draw you away. They start talking to you about food restrictions. Telling you what you should and what you can't eat. Slowly. They start talking to you about holidays. Feast days. And worship days. Slowly, slowly. Pulling you in. It's all talking about the love of God. It has no wrath. It has no judgment. There's no retribution. Slowly, slowly pulling you in. And ultimately, false teachers undermine and eventually deny the work of Jesus Christ himself. Ultimately then, denying and undermining the sufficiency of Christ. Ultimately undermining the uniqueness of Jesus. Ultimately undermining the exclusivity of Jesus. Here, beloved, here. I want you to get this. Here then, as you are listening, here is the test that you give to the false prophet over and over again. Am I saved by Christ and Christ alone? I don't care. I don't care about your feast days. I don't care about your food. I just want to know, am I saved by Christ and Christ alone? Is there any other name? Is there any other way? Is there any other faith? Because if there is some other way, if there is some other name, if there is some other faith, beloved, then it is false. I am saved by Jesus. Don't you understand that? You are saved by Jesus. Listen to me. Listen to me. You are not saved by the Bible. You are saved by Jesus. I don't care how many scriptures they quote. If they are not talking salvation in Christ alone, flee. You are not saved by the Bible. You are not saved by anybody's teachings. You are not saved by the laws or anybody's regulations. You are not saved by baptism. You are not saved by the Lord's Supper. You are not saved by going to church. You are not saved by anything you do or don't do. You are saved by Jesus. And Jesus only. Anything else? Hit the road. Hit the road, beloved. And yet, in spite of all that, Peter says that they do have followers. In spite of all that, people still follow. Notice what he said in verse 2 and 3, right? And many, many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they would exploit you with false words. Not only will there be false teachers, beloved. But Peter here reminds us that the false teachers will be successful. They will be successful. And many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Many. They're going to be successful. They're going to have followers, and they're going to have a lot of them. This is not new. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And how many? Many, many, many enter through it. And Paul again said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Beginning in verse 3, for the time will come when people will not endure sound teaching, but will have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers who suit their own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth. And what will they wander into? They will wander off into myths. Myths. I am amazed. I really am. I am amazed at how quickly and easily people get others to follow them. Easy. They make up stories about themselves. People get totally fascinated with the myths. They tell people that they've seen and talked to angels. And people just flock to them. They write books and tell them they spent 90 minutes in heaven. And people just flock to them, or 23 minutes in hell. And people just flock to them. They get up in front of people and tell them they just had lunch with Jesus. And they just flock to it, beloved. Fill stadiums. They make up some ridiculous, outlandish saying like, money cometh, money cometh. And people just flow into the buildings. They write a book, and they tell people that God loves everyone and everything is all right. And just live and let live. And it becomes a national bestseller. They start podcasts, and they tell people, throw off religion. What's important is just that you're spiritual. And Peter said, many, many will follow. Because people fall prey to the lustfulness and the greed. They fall prey to the smooth, talking, spiritual con artists. And not only do they lose their finances, beloved, but they lose their virtue as well. They get totally taken advantage of. And this is true. This is true. This is true from false prophets, from Balaam, to Tetzel, to Reverend Ike. This has been true of false prophetesses. From Jezebel to Mary Baker Eddy to Juanita Bynum. This has been and continues to be true, beloved. The history of the church is filled with men and women who called themselves prophets and prophetesses and took advantage of people for money or sexual pleasure. It happened then. It happens now. You know what Peter says they are in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14? We haven't gotten there yet, but let's take a sneak peek. He calls them experts in greed. Experts in greed. You got to understand, beloved, that their greed leads to the grave. False teaching is as dangerous today, beloved, as it has ever been. In fact, I would argue that it is more dangerous and insidious today than it has ever been. And why do you say that, preacher? I say that on several fronts. First of all, because we got more access to it. Everybody's on the internet. Everybody's got a YouTube channel. Everybody's got a podcast. We have more access to it. The internet has allowed for the proliferation of the truth, but also the lies and the falsehood. And the propping up and the promotion of false teachers and false prophets. It's as worse, it's as bad as it's ever been because we have access to it. But it's also as bad as it has ever been because people today are more open to opinions. People today are more open to opinions than they have ever been. Because people today are afraid to tell other people, you are wrong. That is a wrong, false, hell-bound opinion. But because we are so open and because we are so tolerant, then we are more susceptible and vulnerable to the falsehoods of the enemy. More than we ever have been in history, beloved. And because more than any other time in history, we really believe that people are basically good. That's what they all say. Anytime you turn on the television and you listen to a man or a woman talk about human nature and how human nature is basically good, you are hearing a false prophet. And basically, people want your best interest because they are so altruistic and believe that they are going to make everything better by and by. And because this is such an acceptable teaching and philosophy in our world, we are more susceptible than any time to false doctrines and false teachings. But beloved, no matter how much access they have, and no matter how open people are to their opinion, and no matter how good they think they and you are, the bottom line is that there is a final end to all these false prophets and false teachers. Fret not. Be not afraid. And be not dismayed. For Peter says in verse 3, their condemnation from long ago is not idle. And their destruction is not asleep. Even though, beloved, false prophets are inevitable, even though false teachers are successful, the thing that you and I have to always keep in mind, that they will not be victorious. Their destiny is already determined, and their condemnation is already sure. Just as they teach destructive heresies, so too will those heresies be their destruction. That's what Peter is saying. They who seek to destroy where they're teaching will be destroyed. The psalmist says in Psalm 73, beginning in verse 2, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They had no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They have large churches. They fly around the country on private jets. They live in large homes. They have tailored suits. And I ain't gonna lie, sometimes, beloved, it makes you wonder. Sometimes it makes you wonder, are you saying the right things? Sometimes it makes you wonder, are you reading the Bible right? Maybe we ought to get a billboard and have Philip and Allison on it. How about that? Sometimes it makes you wonder. But Peter says, don't wonder. Don't wonder. God is not asleep. They think that he has turned a blind eye, but he hasn't, beloved. God is mindful of foolish teaching. God is mindful of false teaching in the church. And as Mark chapter 9 and verse 42 remind us, God will not hold them guiltless who lead others astray, beloved. God, however, does not move at the whim of false prophets and teachers. But he moves in his own time. And he moves according to his own schedule to accomplish the glorious purposes of his own will. And so as we'll see coming up, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 through 10, the Lord is not slow. This is what the false prophets think. It's what Peter is saying. They say they're teaching, well, where is he? Where is the Lord? He says he's coming back. Where is he? Must not be true. Listen, we have a more true word. We have a more settled word. And Peter says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count their slowness. Don't listen to him. But he's patient. He's patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. The day of the Lord will come. And when it comes like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. God is not asleep. God is not slumbering. He's adding it up. He's filling his leisure. He is patient for the sake of his people, but judgment is coming. And when it comes, it will be swift. And when it comes, it will be sure. And beloved, listen, no teaching will go unexamined. And no teacher unaccountable. This is sobering news. The thing that false teachers often do, beloved, is they downplay final judgment and dismiss God's retribution against sin. However, their judgment and condemnation is already established. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37, "For by your words you will be acquitted, but by your words you will be condemned." Listen to me this morning, beloved. I hope and I pray that Aaron Rodgers and Rob Bell will have reconciled with the truth claims of Jesus Christ by the time Jesus comes. But more importantly than that, I pray that each of us will have. I pray that each of you will have. God's judgment and condemnation against sin has been clear and is clear from the very beginning, beloved. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. God was clear. On the day that you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. Make no mistake about it. That is the word of a true prophet. On the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die, beloved. From the very beginning and all throughout the scriptures, God's word and condemnation against sin has been clear. And reminding people that your sin is a clear and present danger to your soul. But not only, beloved, is that true concerning God's judgment, beloved, but it is also true, and more importantly, true concerning his offer of salvation. Judgment is clear, but so is salvation. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That, beloved, is a true prophecy. God is willing, God is able to save all those who call upon his name this morning because of the promise that he has made in Christ Jesus and in Christ Jesus alone. There is no secret to it, beloved. There is no code you have to break this morning. It is clear in the scriptures. It is clear from the word of God. I am not bringing you some new and improved teaching. I don't have any special revelation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Believe in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. But when the day comes, that is the only means of escaping the judgment of God. That you are found in Christ, and in Christ alone. The Apostle Peter was serious and sober in his warnings to the church. I pray this morning that we would be serious and sober in heeding them. Let's pray.